Welcome to another episode of the Profitable Audience Podcast. Today we're doing something special. Steve is gallivanting around the world on vacation, and I thought it would be fun to have one of our students on the podcast today. We're going to call this a student success story. And today I am so excited to be joined by my friend and student, Dana Michelle. She is part of the Profitable Audience course, as well as the Profitable Online Store course, and a Seller Summit alumni. So we get triple threat Dana Michelle today. And thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Yes, thank you so much for having me. Super excited to be here.
I know, I'm excited. Yesterday on office hours, I was like, I need a podcast guest. And Dana Michelle was like, me. I'm like, perfect. I know you, it won't be weird. Anyway, so what I thought would be cool for you guys is Steve and I talk about all sorts of things. And sometimes it feels like maybe we have an unfair advantage because we've been doing this a long time. And I thought it would be fun to talk to, you know, over time, a lot of our students who basically started from the ground zero sooner than Steve and I. Steve and I are kind of dinosaurs in this space. So I don't know which brands you want to talk about today, Dana Michelle, if you want to talk about both of them or you want to focus on one. But Dana Michelle has really been working on YouTube. And I will say she's probably Steve's star YouTube student in the course. Like anytime Steve does a YouTube lesson, Dana Michelle is like frantically taking notes, it feels like. So tell us a little bit about your businesses and what you're doing and give us like a little background on you.
So I do want to talk about both because they are both so very different. Yes. And the growth on both channels is so unique. It's very interesting to see because they were both started around the same time frame and one has grown significantly faster than the other one. So the first one that we started was a la carte cooking. And it kind of came out of the pandemic in the sense that it literally started as, let's have a live session for happy hour for Mother's Day because we couldn't all get together for Mother's Day.
Oh, so this was 3 years ago.
Okay. Yeah, so we got on live for Mother's Day and started making cocktails.
Ooh.
And that was so much fun that we started doing that on a weekly basis. And then Grant's work was like, hey, can you do that every week? And we will pay you to do that every week while we were in the pandemic.
Okay.
It wasn't just cocktails, but it was showing how the Vitamix worked and doing some sort of recipe or making something. So that's what kept that going. During the pandemic, friends, family know that we're avid shooters. We like to, you know, use handguns and whatnot. And they started asking questions about, hey, we'd like to maybe pick up, you know, a concealed carry, what would you suggest? So we just started doing videos for that channel and grew, we would grow them at the same time. So recording for both channels every week and posting on both channels on a weekly basis. And to watch the growth was surprising because the concealed carry channel grew so much faster than a la carte cooking.
I mean, I think, you know, I don't want, we don't get political on the podcast, but
No.
But I think given the climate and things that are happening, yes. I have heard that from other people who are in that niche, that if they're mm-hmm. in sort of any sort of the firearm niche, that their businesses definitely exploded during that time period. And I think that's just something that people chose to spend their money on. Now, when you were doing both of these, were you thinking like this is a revenue driver or was this sort of like I'm just fulfilling a need someone's asking me? Like, what was your perspective on this when you got started?
Initially, it was just filling a need that was being requested. So the a la carte cooking was out of sheer fun mm-hmm. and also a request from work. Well, once the request from work had fallen off and regular work had started to come back around, we just continued to do it in so much that when we were living in Washington State at the time, when we traveled to Texas and thinking we were going to move back to Texas, we did a live from Texas. We brought all of our cocktail attire and cookings, you know, prep work and things like that, and did a live from Texas by the side of the lake because we were that consistent yeah. with doing all of the recordings. And then with the handguns, we would just hit the range every week or so. We'd select five different firearms. We'd shoot them all. We do the review on them, analyze them, break them down, pros, cons. And with that, we didn't think either of them were going to be a revenue stream. So when we hit the monetization mark on the concealed carry channel pretty fast, we were surprised because we were like, whoa, okay, we hit those marks. Wasn't a goal by any means.
Okay. So when you got started, I mean, what was your YouTube knowledge? What were you like, did you have any experience? I mean, it sounds like maybe Grant had some experience if his work was asking him to do something, or was it just they saw it and liked it and said, do it? Okay.
Yes. They saw it, liked it, and said, do it. Because for his work, he's in sales and he is one of their top producers. So they're like, well, let's just go ahead and exploit that.
Yes.
And have you do some recordings because you're already in front of people. So let's just put you in front of a camera.
Yeah. So you had one. Yeah. You had one channel kind of blow up. The other channel I know is still growing. It's experienced growth. Aside from the topic, which I think, you know, most people listening will probably understand why the one blew up and the other one grew at probably a more normal rate. Was there anything else you did differently that you think maybe contributed to like one growing faster than the other? Or you think it was all just like, that's the state of the world right now?
I think it was just the state of the world.
Yeah.
I really do. And the funny thing is, like, we have dialed back the concealed carry channel significantly. Like, we still have some videos coming out because we have some folks in the firearm space that want to send us their product and us to do a review of it, you know, an everyday carry belt or a holster or something like that, which we oblige and we'll do that for them because we built a relationship with them. But it is a very expensive hobby to maintain if you are not bringing in a whole lot of revenue from it. So we do still see profits coming in on a monthly basis, even though we don't, you know, evergreen content is evergreen on YouTube. Like, it continues to just live and grow, and videos that we've produced from the very beginning now have thousands and thousands of views.
Yeah,
because they still live there.
So let's talk about the cooking channel, because that one probably grew at a more normal rate for like someone who's listening and thinking about doing YouTube. This is a question that we always get. What did you use to film your videos? What was your equipment set up?
It literally started off with an iPhone.
Okay. That's what we tell people. People don't believe us. Yeah. It's like, don't go out and buy that $3,000 camera. You don't need it.
Yeah, no. We did go out and eventually buy camera equipment. So now we do have lighting and we have a Fujifilm camera and we have the lapel microphones and we have, you know, we have all the things now, but legit a camera.
You didn't even use a microphone?
Camera. No.
Oh, that's impressive.
No.
I always say buy the $5 or $10 corded lapel mic to hook into your phone.
Didn't even do that. I mean, literally, yeah, just an iPhone.
And you just set it up in your kitchen or, you know, somewhere. Yeah. Okay.
I had this old tripod for my phone that was broken that I would take a rubber band and I would set it on there and I would rubber band the phone to the tripod and it would stay on there. And that's how we would film. You just had to make sure you were close enough to the phone and, you know, the blinds are open and the lights are open.
You had to do a certain time of day, make sure everything looks good. Yes. Okay, so this is so funny because I think people don't believe that most people get their start by doing exactly this. Their phone is stacked on a pile of books or, you know,
yes.
They don't believe that it could be this simple. I will say, if you're going to do this, just get the corded mic. That's all I'm going to say.
Get the mic. Please get the mic. It makes all the world
of a
difference. It does.
But other than that, you pretty much, the phone is very adequate. What were some other surprises that you had in the beginning? Like, what did you, like, did you think, okay, I need to do editing, I need to do a thumbnail? Like, where were you in the process when you got started?
Yes, that's a great question. So editing, yes. I have a background in editing. I was a videographer for nearly a decade in the wedding industry. And so that was something easy for me to lean on. So we'd film them, I'd upload them. I didn't know where we were going with it, but I knew that if there were too many I was cutting those out and, you know, transitioning them or stitching them or however I was putting the content together so that it did look better, because You did from the very beginning. If you look at the videos at the very beginning, they are horrible compared to where they went, you know, a year later, a year after being consistent and filming. And, you know, you just go back and you watch and you're like, wow, that was really terrible.
Well, that's, we say that all the time. Like, your first video is your worst video. It is. I mean, you're just going to get better. And people stress so much about the first video. You know, we have Charles in the course right now who's put up a couple first videos. And we're like, just publish it. You're going to get better. Like, I think his first video was actually good. But, you know, it's like the longer you do this, the more comfortable you get with the camera, with the process, with what you're doing. So you have an editing background. So that's cheating a little bit.
100%. Yes.
But what did you 100%. Use a special software? Like, what did you use to do it?
So literally at the very beginning, I was using iMovie. I was literally just using iMovie. And then as we started to get a bit more involved, especially on the Concealed Carry channel, because we were like, okay, well, we need to show close-ups and I need to be able to do edits. And I want to show, like, you know, how this fits in here and get this tight shot while he's talking about it. Well, those are, so we'd have our filming and we would usually do things in one take as opposed to two or three or five. Mm-hmm. And then we'd go back and we'd get, you know, the B-roll, the tight shots, the secondary overlay shots. Once that started coming into play, then I started looking for additional editing tools. Mm-hmm. And I came across DaVinci Resolve.
Okay.
I was trained on Final Cut Pro, but Final Cut Pro at the time was always really expensive. Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it's always been expensive. And now it's a membership, mm-hmm. a subscription on a monthly basis. And I was like, well, do I really want to spend that kind of money when so far this is a hobby? Stumbled across DaVinci Resolve, and that is free, and it is so robust. They do have a paid version. Mm-hmm. I have not found the need to use it as a paid version, so I take advantage of the free version, and it is outstanding.
So it's DaVinci Resolve, and that's like Leonardo da Vinci spelled the same way?
Okay. Yes, yeah, DaVinci Resolve, yep. And I could send you the URL for that if anybody wants to download it, but it's a wonderful platform. There is definitely a learning curve mm-hmm. to it, though. Because I had a background in Final Cut Pro, it was very easy for me to transition into that. And the keystrokes are the same. The shortcuts are the same. So if anybody has any experience with Final Cut Pro, DaVinci Resolve will be very useful for them. If they're completely brand new, like our assistant was, their tutorials are exceptional.
Yeah. And I mean, iMovie is a great, I mean, if you have a Mac, I think it comes preloaded on there and on your phone. So you can, I don't know how anyone can edit anything on their phone, but I'm too old. I'm too old for that now. I've reached that age.
No, you need the computer. I'm a fan of the computer.
Yeah, I love my computer. I'm like, I see all these people like, oh, my traffic's 95% mobile. I'm like, it's not me. I'm not on your site on mobile. That is not me. I am still on desktop like an old lady.
I don't know that that makes you an old lady. There's just more space to see things with.
I don't want to try to, you know, with your fingers. No, and it just drives me nuts. The only time
Well, then if there's a pop-up, then like,
you can't close it. And then the pop-up, if you accidentally click on it, takes you to another screen on your phone. So now you can't find how to get back. Yeah. I turned into a 95-year-old crotchety old woman when I have to do that kind of stuff. So anyway, so you're making this sound easy.
It is.
And then
it really is.
So you put these videos out on YouTube for the cocktail making and cooking.
Yes. Yes.
Like, did you have any subscribers? Like, what was the process? Like, who was were you your first subscriber, you know, on your other Gmail account?
Yes. 100%. Right. And like, I told my mom, subscribe. She's not even signed in. So I didn't even think my mom's a subscriber.
She's probably not. I know who she is. So.
Know that she's like, I didn't
she's too busy jumping out of airplanes. She doesn't have time to subscribe to your
seriously, our friends and family, I was like, please hit that subscribe button. Just do us a little favor, hit that subscribe button. Yes, what I did notice a big shift was when we started taking our long form videos and turned them into short form, and we'd still film the long form, but we'd cut it for short form. Wow, what a difference on the interaction with people.
Okay, so let's talk about that for a minute, because I actually don't know if we've ever talked about this on the podcast. So you're saying you took the full video that you would make, you would still publish that full video on YouTube, but then you would put them on YouTube as a short?
Correct. Okay, and I'd re-edit them, change the format of them. So it wasn't like I took a long form and then just dumped it into a short form. I actually would trim down the sides of the video. So when I was filming, I would think about that.
Yes, yes.
So that I would be far enough back so that I still have everything that I need in frame and it can still work as a vertical video.
Yeah, because the long form on YouTube is horizontal, but the shorts, think like Reels, TikTok, stories, those are in that vertical. Yeah. So I actually just had this conversation with somebody earlier this week about shooting wide enough to where you can make it vertical, which is something to think about. Tell me more about shorts, because I don't really know anything about YouTube shorts other than I know they exist. That's all I know.
If you ever get stuck down that rabbit hole, it's a,
I don't want to get stuck. I want to stay, I want to stay at the full length video level.
You'll have a whole hour go by and you're like, where did that hour go?
I know. I can't afford that. I can't afford that at all.
Yeah, the shorts was really something that kind of made a big change for us in our engagement, especially for a la carte cooking. That's where I noticed a big difference, because we went from, I don't know, 20, 30 views, which doesn't, you know, I feel like everybody at some point in time has had that 20, 30 views. And, you know, when you go from like five, you're like, yes, I'm at 20 or 30 views. Like 20 or 30 people have watched this, to 1500 views, because that same video is now a short and it's less than a minute long and super easy digestible. It's just, I would almost say it's a more work than the long form, because you have to be very particular with what you are editing and what you keep in. But I also think that that makes the content more important, everything that you keep in there, right? And you keep people engaged that way.
Do you edit it? Is it similar to when you're thinking about when you're editing a short? Would you think like TikTok style editing, Reels, like the quick cuts and things like that? Is that similar?
I definitely do jump cuts instead of like transitions. Like I'm not needing to like have a nice fade transition, or like you see on HGTV when you're transporting from one location of the city to another location, they have that circle bubble transition. Yeah. That's nice in long form, but it takes up too much time in short form. You have to keep the viewer engaged, I feel like. What is the, what is it, 3 seconds or something? You get somebody's attention. Yeah. If you don't grab them within that time frame, they're gone.
Yeah. How do you start your videos, like to grab people's attention?
I don't have a particular way that we start them, that we have a set way. On the Concealed Carry channel, Grant would always start, you know, welcome to the Concealed Carry channel. I'm Grant McLean. Today we're doing a review of a Glock 45 or whatever it is for that day. A la carte cooking for the, well, I guess now that I say that, would be like, hi, welcome to a la carte cooking. I'm Dana. And if I had somebody with me, I have my brother West on today, or if Wesley's doing it, maybe he has a cowboy hat on that day and he's like, we're making a cowboy cocktail or whatever it is that, you know, for that particular season. For Christmas time, we'd started off 12 days of Christmas or 12 cocktails of Christmas. This past year, we did 25.
Oh,
which was a lot.
That's still not enough to get through Christmas with certain people I know, but,
So that was for Christmas. It was today we're making, you know, 25 days of cocktails, 12 days of cocktails, 13 days of cocktails, that sort of thing.
So when you started doing the shorts, what did you see improve in your YouTube channel overall? Did you increase subscribers, increase views, all of the above? How did that work?
All of the above and comments.
Okay.
Which was surprising to me and kind of exciting, because people started commenting. That was a really cool tip that you showed. Or do you, like I showed, we did a short on beans in the pressure cooker. I love my pressure cooker. And raw dried beans, you don't have to soak them. And people, that was huge engagement. I was shocked. They were like, what do you mean you don't have to soak them? You can just put them in. And like, there was lots of comments about that. So I started doing, like, they asked and I listened and that would just create what they were asking for.
I think it's funny with, especially with the shorts, these little tips. I did I think it was a reel or something where I was making stir fry, but instead of like chopping up all the vegetables, I bought a can of succotash, and which is chopped vegetables, and dumped it in. And people were like, mind blown. And I'm like, but it literally shows you a picture on the can of the chopped vegetables. Like, this isn't it's not a secret what's in this can. Right. You were like, I've been chopping for hours, you know? And I was like, yeah, you have more time than me. If I can buy something pre-done, I will buy it pre-done. But yeah, I think those quick, it's probably lends itself well to the short form anyway, because it's like they leave Agreed. With their, it's like that TikTok that's still going around 3 years later. What's something that you learned that has been like life changing? And it's always like some weird hack. And I posted a response to that where I always line my paint tins with press and seal. And so when you're done painting, you just put the press and seal together and throw it away and your tin is clean.
That's amazing.
And people were like, what? And I was like, first of all, press and seal can do anything, I've decided. So you need to find some shorts in that for your cooking. It'll blow up, I promise.
I like that. I'm going to write that down.
You should do that. But anyway, I think those tips lend themselves to the short form, and people can, like, when you get on TikTok or Reels or anything, YouTube too as well, but you're just scrolling and you're watching tip after tip or quick recipe, and you can digest it all. So I can see, like, if I'm going to watch a video of how to do something like a long form, I'm not watching 16 videos at the same time to recipes, right? I'm going to watch maybe two, and it's probably going to be because I need to know how to make something. I've searched it and it's come up. Whereas the shorts, it's like the consumption is probably so much higher as far as like how many videos people will consume.
Mm-hmm. And if it is something that is complicated, what I like about the short is I think if you give them just enough, but maybe not everything that they possibly need, then you can send them over to the long form.
Yeah.
And then they can watch it more thoroughly in the long form. Like we're editing right now a pasta carbonara, homemade, like make the pasta from scratch. That's all Wesley. I just film it all because that's his department and I just eat it.
I want to get in on this eat part. How do I join the team?
We'll sign you up. And so we have like the whole drawn out process of like, here's the flour. Like we literally grind the flour in the Vitamix. Mm-hmm. So the whole video is, I don't know, 17 minutes long, 15 minutes long. So, you know, it's a long process, which will cut down into making the dough, making the pasta, then making the actual pasta carbonara. Like I'll cut that one video into at least three shorts, which will likely get more views than just the whole big form video. Cause I'm not Mr. Beast yet.
Like, nobody is. I've heard he's kind of miserable though. So I've heard he's like, it's like, this is too much, which I'm like, yeah, he can't go anywhere. He's at that level, which I'm like, yeah, I want to be the celebrity level where nobody really cares about you, but you still have all the money and resources.
Yeah, I'm with you. That's our goal. Yeah.
I want to like be able to take a private jet, but I don't need to like,
that's
the level.
Right. Yes.
Okay. So like, what was the most frustrating thing? Like, I mean, so many people, you've been really, what I love about you guys is that you've been really consistent. You've just plotted away, and that's hard to do. And Steve and I always talk about how that is what sets apart people. It's not how smart you are or how many resources you have. It's the people that just get up every day and do it. And you're definitely a great example of that. So when were the times you wanted to quit?
Oh gosh.
Every day. Don't say that.
I don't know that I've had necessarily any times where I'm like, I'm throwing in the towel, I'm done with this. But you definitely want that. Like, oh, how many views did this one get? And you're like, oh, dang, that didn't, I worked so hard on that one. That one didn't get any views. Whereas another one where, this is the genuine stuff is what gets views. I'll give you an example. Like the whole scripted, okay, we're doing this cocktail. It's this long drawn out process, whatever. Okay. There's nothing really exciting going on. I'm making a pineapple something or other. What is that? Dole Whip, the pineapple Dole Whip that they have at Disneyland. Oh, yes. I was making a version of that. I didn't have the lid on correctly. an ice piece flew down my shirt while I'm recording this. And I was like, oh, like all that genuine stuff.
Yeah.
That's what gets views. Like, not that I'm saying you got to have stuff going down your shirt all the time, but like.
Well, clearly that's an OnlyFans thing, Dana Michelle. It's a whole nother podcast.
It's a whole different one. But the genuine fun, like when something goes wrong and you can see it's genuine, like those were the ones where I was like, oh, wow, that got a lot more views than I thought. Or simple things like something that you would think, again, going back to the tips, mm-hmm. where you're like, the Saran on there, the Klingon, was it Klingon?
Press and seal.
Yeah.
Do we not have those out west? Do you not have press and seal?
I'm sure we do.
Oh, it will change your life. It will change your life.
I'm going to have to go buy some.
You'll be thanking me like 50 years from now. You're like, my life changed radically whenever I started using this.
Perfect.
That's right. This is all you need.
Yeah, right. Yes. I'm going to come up with a whole list of videos of what to do with that.
Actually, that would probably be gold. Because I feel like it's kind of like those things that, like, I like Bounty paper towels. So totally, this is the side note, right? And I'm like a loyal Bounty user. And people come to my house sometimes whose like spouses want the cheap paper towels, and they grab a paper towel and they're like, look at their spouse and they're like, do you see how nice these are? And I was like, I mean, I will be cheap on a lot of things, but like paper towels and press and seal, I will not be cheap on. And so I feel like there's all these people that buy the cheapy Saran wrap and it doesn't work very well. And so you could do a whole series on that's going to be gold. Like why you should spend the money on press and seal.
I'm going to, because what is in my drawer right now is the Kirkland, and we like Kirkland.
Do you have the 800,000 feet of Kirkland? I had one of those. It literally lasted me like 17 years. I moved it from like six states. Like it did that thing.
Oh, yeah.
That thing, I think I took it overseas. I'm like, this thing will never die.
And I think in the one move, I couldn't find it. So I bought another one. Then I found it. Now I'm like, now I have like.
Now you have six football fields worth of Saran wrap. That, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but it's interesting because like things that we think are simple in our kitchen that we normally do on a daily basis, people's minds are blown with them. Like whipped cream in a Vitamix. You're like, wait a minute, you can make like. It's like, yeah, what are you talking about? Yes, you just put it in there and push the button and whipped cream. Like, you don't have to buy the can. I don't, you know, but people will, and the analytics shows that to you. How long they've watched it, how long, you know, how many times they've watched it, that sort of thing. Is it more male? Is it more female? It's fascinating to watch the analytical side of the YouTube channel to see what's working, what's not working.
Yeah. So that's interesting. And I think you hit on something. You might not have known that you did this, but so many people think, oh, I don't know anything that other people don't know, right? Like I don't have anything to offer that's like mind blowing, but there's probably half people listening to this podcast don't know you can make whipped cream in the Vitamix. I think everybody has knowledge of things that they think is like everybody knows this, but really nobody knows this. Or, you know, maybe your family knows it because that's where you learned it, but nobody outside of your family probably knows how to do whatever your special talent is. So I think for people out there that are sort of doubting their like, well, what do I have that's so special? You probably have a ton of stuff that people don't know. And even if like some people know it, I guarantee nobody under 25 knows anything. So like, like you're going to teach some people. Now that I've offended everybody, but you know, there's a whole group of people that probably don't know what less. And I see this all the time where I came across a guy on YouTube, Steve sent him to me last week. Literally this dude, an Asian guy standing in front of a blank background, literally with a stack of papers that he's referencing as he's talking about car pricing and how car pricing is going to change in the next like 6 months. It was a 10-minute video of him literally like just talking directly to the camera and like some very crudely drawn like charts, not like with like one line. I watched the whole video. Because it's like he had information, right? Like I was like, I want to learn because I might have to buy a car. Like I need to learn like what's the pricing? Why is it going to drop? What's the reason behind it? And it was very like data driven. He kept referencing his spreadsheets that he had printed out, you know. But I think, you know, so many people are like, oh, I couldn't do this. But I think most people can. And it's just a matter of getting over that initial hurdle to getting started. And, you know, hopefully we don't have another pandemic to motivate people. But
oh, my gosh.
There's got to be another way. But so now that you're a pro. We'll just say that.
Okay.
Like, what are you using now? You said you bought the camera. You're using the DaVinci software.
So we have a Fujifilm X-T4. Okay. Love that camera. We're actually, I literally yesterday was researching wide angle lenses on it, because now with, again, the iPhone and the capabilities of getting the wide angle shot, I, you know, play with the iPhone and I'm like, okay, now my Fuji, I need this on my Fuji. Mm-hmm. So again, in thinking in terms of like being able to shoot the long form and repurpose for the short form, I want to be able to utilize all of that footage for everything so that it's one bird and lots of stones. Mm-hmm. Or what? Is that right? Is that analogy right?
It's one stone and lots of birds. However, I used that in the course and someone said that was very violent. So I was like, well, I don't know another analogy. So
I don't either.
Yeah. I don't know.
Cross pollination.
I don't know what that could be. You're going to do one thing and get a lot of value out of it.
There you are. That's what I'm trying to say. Yes. So we have lighting equipment, which the funny thing about the lighting equipment is I don't have the hoods for them because, you know, lighting equipment, you can get all these fancy hoods. I literally cut out butcher paper and covered the light because I was like, I need to mute this just a little bit. So there's butcher paper on our lighting equipment. But two lights, camera stand. We did buy a gimbal. Okay. That is super fun for getting close-up shots on the stovetop. It just makes my job in post, or our editor's job in post, so much easier now.
Yeah.
Because less work has to be done. So when I do film, I am thinking shooting for the edit.
Yeah.
So we don't necessarily storyboard, but we do kind of talk things through. Sometimes they are just straight off the cuff and we're flying by the seat of our pants and whatever happens, happens. And sometimes those make the best of videos. But if it is something that we're like needing to follow a recipe, there is a little bit of like, okay, this is what's happening first. And then, you know, this is what subsequently happens after that. But in getting back to circling to the equipment, we have the camera. We do have a mic. I'm grabbing the mic. We ended up getting a Saramonic. So I have that attaches to my camera. It attaches to a lapel. They are Bluetooth. Hooks into the camera, and I have my Sony headphones that I plug into the camera to make sure I hear the audio.
Okay.
Because we have had instances that if you didn't charge up the mic, and the mic died.
Not as well. It's very frustrating. It's a very frustrating situation.
Very frustrating. But the thing with that is, like, we didn't stop filming. We just kept going forward. So could you, in a professional sense, you know, if you were on a set, yes, you cut and you fix things and then you do it again. But I'm like, well, this is real life. So we just keep going and put a little banner on the bottom that says, oops, microphones died.
I love it. I like what you said is that you film for the edit. That's a really good tip. Okay, a couple more questions. You said you used to do the editing. Now you have someone do it. That's another question we get asked all the time. Who's doing your editing? How did you find them? What's their phone number? And
she's not available. Yes, we did hire an assistant going on 3 years ago now. And she has worn, and it's funny because I was listening to your episode the other day when you were saying about how you felt like you were underutilizing. God bless her. She has worn so many hats. She has worn all of the hats. And I would say probably 6 months ago, 5 months ago, we had a team meeting and we said, hey, because we meet on a regular basis. Every Monday we meet, not in visual, but over the phone through WhatsApp, which has worked really well for us. We shifted her hat again and said, we are focusing our energies on editing. So the things that were on her plate before, I now do. And what was on my plate before, she now does. Because we made this switch because videos were getting backlogged because I didn't have enough hours in the day to do that.
Gotcha.
And she had the skill set. When we hired her, that was part of her skill set. She knew Adobe.
Okay.
And we said, okay, we're going to do DaVinci. Are you willing to go down that journey with us and learn that? And she was like, yes. So we got her set up with a new computer system that can handle all of that because the old one, it was old and it just couldn't handle all of that. So we did all of that for her. And she's such a great part of our team.
Is she US based or overseas?
She is not US based. She's in the Philippines. Okay. So we did the online jobs page and went through that whole interview process.
Okay. Yeah. We've talked about that on the podcast. So if you guys are, if you are listening and you want to know more, just search that. And we've gone through that in deep detail. So
Very deep detail, it's
interesting though, that she already had some video editing experience when you hired, which I think is important. I think it is much harder to train, like take someone who's like, oh, I'm a, you know, copywriter or I'm an Amazon listing specialist and then say, oh, can you please be a video editor? I think that's probably not a great idea.
Agreed.
So the fact that she had the experience makes sense. And it sounds like it's helped you out with the backlog. So yeah, last questions, how many videos, let's just do the cooking one for now. How many videos are you posting? How many videos are you filming a week and how many are you posting?
Now that we have moved,
I know that throws you off.
That threw a wrench. We had been very diligent. So prior to the move, one video a week. So we were, maybe we would film 2-3 videos a week and then have them in the editing. But the goal was at least one video a week. Christmas, we were doing one a day, which was a lot. But yes, normal circumstances, one video a week, which I see as two because it's one long form and then a short form, but filming one video a week.
Yeah. And then going forward, is that, are you sticking with the one video a week goal or are you thinking about increasing? Like what are you seeing in YouTube and then what decisions are you making?
I'm actually doing quite a bit of filming in vertical. So with the iPhone, even though we have these really nice, you know, camera setups, we are filming more shorts. So this is, you know, a different way to make an espresso latte in the morning, or this is a different way of cutting onions, just something real quick, or I'm making my own spin on a whiskey sour. So literally I do have a new tripod for my phone. I don't have to use the rubber band anymore. Thank you, Aaron Chase, on that one. So just filming 2-3 per week for release on a weekly basis is what the new goal is for shorts.
So you want to release 2-3 shorts a week?
Correct.
Okay. And so you started with 0 followers. What are you at now for a la carte cooking?
606. So we have now, so YouTube recently changed their requirements for monetization. I'm sure you know that. And we are at 606 for our subs there, and we are on our way to the hour watch requirements for monetization for that channel.
Yep. And what are you with concealed carry?
15,500.
Okay. So obviously, you know, it's very interesting because you've basically done the same thing with both channels. You followed the same program. And you've seen, I would say, like explosive growth with the one channel, and then the other channel is growing. And I think it's probably a pretty reasonable rate. And that's also, let's just say that, do you have any other social properties for a la carte cooking?
Yes. So we have we now have a TikTok. Okay. So we are on TikTok. We do have Instagram. We are on Pinterest. I would say out of all of those, though, the most consistent ones are definitely on YouTube for a la carte cooking. We have our website, which we will direct people to our website from our YouTube channel. Yeah. And we do see the traffic going from YouTube to our website to make a purchase on a product if they see what's something that they want to buy.
Nice.
Which is really kind of cool to see that.
Yeah. I mean, I think YouTube is definitely great for driving either subscribers, like email type subscribers, or pushing them to a site. I think with some of the other, especially with the social, like with Instagram and Facebook, you know, it's just so temporary. It doesn't always do a great job of translating. Although people that really, I will say, if that's like all your focus and you're just Instagram all the time, you can definitely create that on any channel. But the, you know, the level of dedication you have to have is more than I have on just about anything. So, I mean, the people that I know that are doing this are posting 10 times a day, right? 15 times a day.
I don't have that kind of time. That would be awesome, but I don't have that big of a team. Yeah,
exactly.
We're very small.
I don't do enough interesting things to have 15 things to post a day.
I don't know. You have enough children that I think you
Maybe. Some days I could probably get 50 stories up there, but most days it's just me and the computer. So.
But that is the nice thing about YouTube is that it is a bit evergreen. You know, there may be something that was old 2 years ago, but the algorithm feels it's relevant to you and it pops up. So that's so helpful.
Yeah. Tell people where they can subscribe to both of your channels if they're interested in viewing your YouTube content.
Yes. Thank you. So A La Carte Cooking is our cooking channel. Mm-hmm. And then Concealed Carry Channel is our other YouTube channel.
Awesome.
It's our firearms and our cooking, both ends of the spectrum.
You really didn't decide to like make those parallel in any way. So. Well, this has been great. I really appreciate you coming on and sharing stuff about your business. I've loved, because, you know, I talk to you online every week, but this has been fun to kind of get a deeper dive into what you're doing. And I'm excited for all that you have planned. And I'm excited to see where the shorts go. Actually, you'll probably have to do an office hours at some point on this, because
we totally could. I'm going to do the press and cling.
Press and seal.
Is that right?
Press I'm going to send you a box. Give me your address.
You'll have it soon because your invitation will be coming in the mail at some point in time.
Yeah. So for anybody who's thinking about getting on YouTube, because this is our number one question right now in everything that we're doing is video. So I think Dana Michelle is a great example of like getting started, creating the content, being regular with the content, trying different things like with the shorts. And I think if you guys are hesitant, it's definitely something to push forward on, because I think it is basically the future and it's a way to combat AI in a lot of things. Yeah. So I hope you guys will find Dana Michelle's story inspirational and give it a try.
Thank you so much. Consistently consistent. That's what everybody should strive for.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that episode. Now, for more information about this episode, go to profitableaudience.com/podcast, where we list all of the tools and resources mentioned in our show notes.
And if you enjoyed listening to this episode, please go to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. When you write us a review, it not only makes our day, but it helps keep this podcast up in the ranks so other people can use this information, find the show more easily, and get some awesome business advice.
Leaving a review is by far the best way to support the show. And please tell your friends, because the greatest compliment that you can give us is to provide a referral to someone else, either in person or to share it on the web.
And if you're interested in building your own profitable audience, subscribe to our free 6-day mini course, where we walk you through the exact steps needed to find your niche, build a website, grab email subscribers, and monetize your content. You can sign up at profitableaudience.com/free.
Thanks for listening.